Today's July 16th, year 2006, sixth Sunday after Pentecost. So I'm going to bring up a couple points, and I'm going to try to do my sermons every week if there's anything of pertinence that happens during the week, because I may not ever get time to write about it. I'm going to try to mention it briefly here. And one of the things we were talking about this week is the big battle that now is going on with the Israelis against the Palestinians, which got inflamed because the Hamas, what they call arrested, or they say kidnapped, but according to them, they just arrested them because they're enemies, and took one of the Israelis prisoner, and then the Israelis want him back, and they started bombing them. Now the Gaza Strip is being bombed, and Lebanon is being bombed, and it's turning into an all-out war. And the Israelis are strangling off the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip by depriving them of food, bombing down the storage systems and water. So they're really trying to starve out the whole people, which is, of course, in this case, well, I want to bring up points on all this. But my main point is, you know, the main evildoers, they're both evildoers. I always say that. God is using the apostate Jews to punish the Muslims, and the Muslims are punishing the apostate Jews. For from a Catholic perspective, it's all just, in the sense that it's just evildoers killing evildoers. All right. Mm-hmm. But the most evil of all is the Jews, because we know they are the kingpins in bringing the Antichrist to power. Mm-hmm. And the point to be made was, even the European nations are appalled at what Israel did at this on this point. And there was only one nation that stayed and backed Israel. Everybody take a guess.
The United States of America. America.
Of course, the number one justifier of the beast. The United States breathes physical life into the beast and makes it possible for her to bring her Antichrist to power. And we see it wherever we look. You know. And but the point I want to make about this whole issue that's going on, we have Protestant evildoers in the world, Muslim evildoers, apostate Jewish evildoers, Hindu evildoers, fallen away Catholic evildoers who think they're Catholic, except for us few Catholics. So you have the whole world is full of evildoers fighting evildoers. So God's justice is being done. They're being punished, all the world, mm-hmm. for their own sins. Because the Lord said there should be no peace for the wicked, and there shall be no peace for the sin maketh nations miserable, and God destroys all sinful nations. So we know that. But I want to just talk about a little bit of God's justice in this matter, as I brought it up briefly. In the beginning, before the Protestants came, were really existed in full numbers, like in the 16th century, with the major Protestant revolts of Lutheranism and Anglicanism, the Jews and the Muslims worked hand in hand against the Catholic Church. And the Jews were always the leaders in the anti-Catholic movements, always. And Jesus prophesied that the Jews would always be at the forefront of the enemies of Christ. They would always be the leaders. He said, the synagogue of Satan will always reside with you, the abomination of desolation, and Daniel 9 will always be with you to the end time, because you're going to be the ones that are going to be the main enemies of Christ, along with all the inferior enemies under them. So the Jews found in the Muslims at that time, before the Protestant revolts, a really great enemy of the Catholic Church that they can work with. So when you read the history of Spain, what happened in there, it was always the Jews and the false converted Jews called the conversos. Not all conversos were evil. Some were true. The ones that were bad, they rightly called the Marranos, pigs, because they were infiltrators. They were coming into the church to take over the church and get into high positions of authority. But my point in this is that the Muslims and the Jews worked hand in hand. They were palsy-wowsy with one another and helped one another against the Catholic Church for so many of those years that they dominated Spain for almost like 500 or 600 or 700 years with the help of the Jews. So my point, what do we see today happening? The two people that at one time teamed together to fight against us are fighting one another cats and dogs, tooth and nail. Apostate Jews and Muslims over in the Middle East ripping one another to pieces. So what? What do we care? You Muslims, yes, the Jews are the most evil, and we have to stand and say, what you're doing is most evil. But guess what? I got no sympathy for the Muslims neither. You people were fighting side by side, and you're getting your just rewards. These are the Jews you put your faith in when you were fighting against Catholicism. Now they're ripping you apart. There's no honor among thieves, as we always say. And Satan's people always turn on him. He uses them to turn against one another to get his purpose and his will done. So we're looking at it and saying, okay, you Muslims are not, well, we're not fond of you neither. You guys are being punished for all those years you oppressed Catholicism with all your wars. And now the very Jews that, and you that were working together to bring this about, you're punishing one another. So there's justice in this. But at the same time, we have to look at the Jews as the worst enemy. And we have to keep our eye on that too. And we have to point them out as even being the most lethal enemies. And then we also have to look at the worst really enemies of Christ. It's not even the Jew. It's the fallen away Catholic. And I don't want to get into that now, but that is the worst enemy. The Muslims are not even as bad as them. And so out of all this mess, Catholics look back and see justice. They see God's will being fulfilled. They see his world being punished for their apostasy from God. And we still do have to speak out those stuff, and we have to try, from our perspective, why is this surface simple as doves, Matthew 10:16? We have to be like that. So we have to sit back and say, the Jews are the most evil. And so we have to call them to task, first and foremost. And we do have to show what they're doing to bring the anti-Jews. And at the same time, tell the Muslims and the Protestants why they're being punished, because they're evil too. Mm-hmm. Because you're all working in the same camp, which is the anti-Catholic camp. Mm-hmm. It's good to speak out against what Israel's doing there. Mm-hmm. They say, oh, you people are, why? Because we've got to point out their hypocrisy. And the United States is ultimate hypocrisy about democracy and liberty and freedom for everybody. Well, we don't believe in it as Catholics. We know it's foolish. But that's what they believe in, and they don't even live according to what they profess. If you believe that, why are you punishing the Palestinians? Aren't they right to elect their own government? They legally and democratically elected the Hamas government. And because the United States doesn't support the Hamas, they don't like it.
Yeah.
In other words, democracy means you got to put in who we want. So it's not really democracy. As we know, democracy is a facade anyway. The person gets in power, whoever controls the money, the banking, and the industries, they're the ones that are ruling the world and the democracies. And they want in power who they want. And if the people happen to go against their wishes, guess what? We do another vote. We either rig the vote or we run another vote. And that's what's happening over there in the Palestinians with Hamas. You talk about freedom. Everybody's allowed to free what they want. But only certain nations can build a nuclear bomb and others can't. What is that all about?
Yeah.
As I said before, the Antichrist is the only one that wants to have the nuclear bombs. Mm-hmm. Him and his cronies. He doesn't want anybody who could be a threat to his reign to power to have a nuclear bomb. Because I say this many times, the Antichrist is afraid of losing this world. He loves the world. He covets the world. The devil covets the world. The devil's got nothing else but this world, and that's all he's got. And he knows he's only going to have it for a certain period of time. He's trying to hold on to this world as long as he can, because he knows after the world ends, when Jesus comes, he's going to be residing in the center of the world for all eternity in everlasting hellfire. So it's amazing. Here he is, the one that really does fear the loss of the world, intimidating people in the world to have the same type of fear of losing the material world. What place does that have with Catholics? Why should we fear the loss of this world? This world is passing, our Lord tells us. The real home, the paradise to come, which Jesus will bring during the second coming. We're only pilgrims on this earth. This earth's going to get destroyed. The Catholic looks at this threat of the nuclear bomb, and they come up to us and say, hey, if you guys don't do what we're saying, we're going to blow up your property in Europe. Go ahead and blow it up. I don't care, because we all got to die anyway. And you'll be sending me to heaven. And this world's going to get blown up anyway, and praise God, we look forward for that day. Because what does that mean? Because Jesus said himself, if you don't blow it up with a nuclear bomb, I'm going to blow it up. Because he's going to do it anyway. He says in 2 Peter 3:16, the coming of the Son of Man shall come like a thief. And the heavens shall pass away with great heat, and the elements shall be melted, and the earth shall be burnt up. And we have the other passage in Zechariah is that there will be a holocaust, and God's coming, he's going to bring fire. So we as Catholics know this is the ultimate end of the world. Mm-hmm. But it's the beginning of the new world for us, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven and paradise on earth. So if you have faith in Christ, you can't hold no threat over my head. You, the Antichrist, you're the one who's afraid of losing the world. You're the one who's afraid of losing what you got. I say, go ahead and blow it up. Put the finger on all the buttons and blow it to smithereens. It don't mean nothing to me. Because you know as soon as you do that, if you do destroy the whole world, it's the end of it. Because then Jesus Christ is going to come to prevent a total annihilation. The second coming comes and the devil goes into hell forever. So, really, everybody who's afraid of any type of threat in this manner shows that he's faithless. He doesn't believe in the true God, and he's working for the devil. He's materialistic. His whole life is this world and nothing else. He doesn't realize himself he's going to die, and what happens after you die. So this whole idea of the devil holding his threat over people, you see the United States, the Antichrist accumulating. So this whole idea of the United States professing his democracy, they prove it wrong wherever they turn. Democracy means that if the people don't vote in homos and feminists and Jews and Holocaust lovers, if they don't vote these people in, we consider that election null and void, and we want another election. We're going to come in and bomb you down, and we're going to keep our army in until you do what we want you to do. And they're sly, though. It's not even like that, because they know before they run the election who's running for the office.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You don't have no say who runs for the office. They do.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is fixed.
Yeah.
So I'm just pointing out to people who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Look what's going on in Israel today. The only person that supported what Israel's doing, the only country is the United States. Even the European nations that are rotten to the core are even offended by what they see going on. But can't you see that the United States is the beast that's bringing the main beast to power by physically supporting her everywhere she turns? Because they have such a Loctite control of the United States. Now that's all I want to talk about on that particular news event. Now, also, this is a little a thing that happened when I was. This is how God always brings thoughts to your mind, and at nighttime you read about what you're thinking about. So I'm walking, as I do at least 3 days a week now, and maybe I'll do it more when my feet get even more used to it in this 100-degree temperature of walking barefoot through the streets. And you get used to it. It gets better. And I'm trying to get used to it. So my thing is to at least, when it's not hot out like 100 degrees, it's easy to do it. Except when you hit the goat heads. Then you forget it. Those are impossible. But anyway, the point is I'm walking with the bare feet and all that. And so God has a purpose. He wants people to see that we live in poverty. That we do penance, us Catholics are to do penance, and we're to show that to others, not in an act of pride or arrogance, but to show them, yes, this is what we do. We are different. Francis proved that in his whole life, the way he walked, the way he walked. But anyway, I was walking with that, and I'm walking down right around that orange yellow building, when I turn the corner, I'm thinking, says, you know, when Antichrist has his army, and it might be the Chinese, the communist Chinese, we don't know who it's going to be, the Europeans, and they come in here, and they come to take over these fatted pigs, these materialistic Americans. They're going to look at us and say, you know, they're not like your typical Americans. They're like us simple Chinese that live out and eat rice in the boondocks, you know. And they respect that. I'm thinking that. They're going to look at us and say, they have not prospered from the piggy Americans. In other words, Mary's Little Remnant are not the piggy Americans we know. Because they know there's Americans that are poor, and they always have more sympathy for poverty. My point is that poverty attracts all people. Mostly all people. I should not say all people. Materialistic people hate poverty. But people of goodwill who have a little bit of a law upon their heart, even the most savage barbarians that are living in the jungles, that are living rough, will come over and look at you living rough. They say, don't live in rough like us. But when they come over and see the pampered fat pigs with the soft lotioned hands and the nice little haircuts and all the comforts, eating the bonbons, you know, floating around in the pools, they're going to go, yeah, what is this? You know? Yeah. This is softness. This is laziness. This is materialism. But the point on that is they're going to look at us and say, leave these guys alone. They're not like the rest of the Americans. I see the way they're living. Being the communist Chinese that's living up in the hills and working every day for his rice is going to look at us and he's going to relate to us by the spirit of poverty. Mm-hmm. These Chinese or these Russians or these poor barbarians that are savages now, coming over, living a simple communistic life, don't even believe in any God or whatever they believe in, but they have that basic thing about the law upon the heart. And they have a basic hatred towards luxury, towards materialism, towards greed, towards fatted pigs and softness. And they come over and they look at the way we're living. And they go, they are not like the rest of these Americans. Let's tune up and listen to what they say. Let's ally ourselves with them and help them. And that's how conversions start. And that's why we can see a great justice, why God has us living the way we are living. You can come down here and look at all our places and say, between us together we all live. Now eventually when we even do have a lot of money to get property, we're still going to live with the spirit of poverty. And I would say even keep myself in the hut here and I'll go visit the property. But whatever, these people have to look at us and see that we are not materialistic, that we have the spirit of poverty, and that we are not like this. And this alone will convert people. So that's one of those things that happened yesterday on that. Then this morning, I came, as always, I say, how many times I read the scriptures, that I'm always coming up with these new revelations and new God's, the Holy Ghost always makes you have a different thought. So no matter how, it's like they say when you serve God, his joys, his wonders, his magnificence, is infinite. Every day you wake up, they don't even sleep maybe in heaven, but every day you're in the presence of God, just something more to dazzle you, to marvel you, to splendor at God. God's splendor is infinite, therefore his wonders are infinite. You know, it never gets boring. Like a blessed Melissa said, you're going to drink from me and you're going to want more. You're going to get thirsty all the time. You're always going to want more. You're going to want to soak it up. But anyway, a great thing came to me today in regards to writing the book I'm working on, Jesus Christ is God, Man, and Messiah. Now, you know I'm working on that book now for a couple of years. But I'm also going to get that short letter I was telling you about, that Jesus is God, about the one person who asked me, how do we prove Jesus is God to Jews when they ask us? Well, that's going to be a 4-page letter maybe. I'm working on that. But in line with that book, we come up with another great thing here. Now, maybe you'll catch it, and I'll ask you, see if you catch it, but you might not, so don't feel bad if you don't catch it. I just thought of this today, after reading this on this good angle, about proving Jesus is everything he said he was, and the Messiah and all that, and God. But it's in John 9:28-29. So I'm going to read from John 9:28-29. They're speaking about the Jews going against Jesus. Jesus is saying, you know, they reviled Jesus, therefore, and said, how are we going to lead into this? But we know he's talking about Jesus. Here's how it goes. Jesus just healed the deaf man, or the blind man. He was born blind. The guy was born blind, and he goes before the Pharisees, and they're railing him. How could this man have healed you? He's a sinner. He goes, well, sinner, I don't know, but I know he healed me, and I was born blind, and I know that no man who's a sinner can do this. God doesn't give that power to sinners. And he started rebuking, who are you to tell us and preach God? Blah, 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 blah. And then he goes to them, and he says, I know not whether he's a sinner. He says, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They said to him, therefore, what did he do to thee? How did he open thine eyes? Then he answers the Pharisees. He answered them, I have told you already, and you have heard. Why would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He's teasing them. And then here's what they say. They reviled him, therefore, and said, be thou his disciples, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as to this man, we know not from whence he is. Now, you probably won't get this, I don't know, but I'm thinking of this. Here's my question to the Pharisees, which I'm going to put in my book. And how do you know Moses was from God? The miracles. Has not Christ done more miracles than Moses? You have to admit that was Moses' ultimate confirmation that he was from God. So why did you Jews believe in Moses? What made you believe in him? Miracles. Has Jesus not done more miracles than Moses? Answer me, Pharisees. So hence, why don't you believe in him? And then I go back and I say, at the beginning of Moses' ministry, before he did miracles, and he came to deliver Israel, what did they say to Moses? Who are you to come and deliver us? God didn't send you. You're not our messenger and deliverer or savior. Same thing they said to Jesus. So even back then you had obstinate Jews. And maybe in the beginning they weren't all obstinate because he didn't do miracles yet, but they were doubting Moses. So he said, Moses, you're no messenger, you're no Messiah, you're no savior, you're no redeemer. Get out of here and leave us alone. Then he comes back 40 years later with the power of miracles and proves his mission. So I go to these hypocritical Pharisees. You go, you know Moses is from God, but how do you know Moses is from God? Just because your fathers told you and you took it on their word? No, because your fathers told you all the miracles he did. And not just him, but all the people that came after according to his preachings and commandments. So it's miracles. And then I say to you, has Jesus not done more miracles than Moses to prove that indeed he's not only equal, he's more than equal, but he's greater than Moses? That he is everything that he said he is? So this is a good argument you could throw back at these hypocrites. How do you believe Moses if it were not for miracles? And this is what the guy said. Hey, can a man do a miracle like this and give one sight who was born blind? Have we ever heard of it done before? So this is a good argument to throw back in your face. And then Moses, who you believe in, Jesus said, he says Moses wrote about me. It's John 5:45. He says, I think not that I will accuse you before the Father. There's another who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you did believe in him, perhaps you would believe in me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe in his writings, how do you believe me? So he go up and say, you believe in Moses. He says, then why don't you believe what he said? He prophesied about me, and here I came and did better miracles. See? So this is another good angle to hit Jews at, or anybody, about, okay, you say Moses is your disciple, but why? Why? Because of miracles. And what did Moses say? He spoke of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Did he do more miracles than Moses? You better believe it, and they knew it. And they seen it. Where else would they say, if we don't stop this man now, he's going to convert all Israel after he rose up Lazarus from the dead? Hypocrites, liars, as we always say. Yeah? Why does suffer? It's not a matter of the intellect, it's a matter of the will. And Jesus knew their heart. You know, he showed them. They come out and say, you don't get it. I don't want to believe in you. I know you're the Messiah. I know you're God, but I don't like you. I hate you because I got my own rules. So therefore, I'm going to create my own God. And that's why we say with every heretic, every apostate, everybody who goes to hell deserves to go to hell. Right. Because they don't want to know the truth. Here, they're being such a bad will. And he goes, okay. And he goes, then the man answers him after they said, we know that God spoke to Moses, but as to this man, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered, and he said to them, why, here it is a wonderful thing that you know not from whence he is, and he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God doth not hear sinners, but if a man be a server of God and doth his will, him he heareth. From the beginning of the world it hath not been heard that a man hath opened the eyes of one born blind. Unless this man were of God, he could not do anything. And the blind man is rebuking him.
He's rebuking him.
He said, look, he's done all the miracles. He's done what Moses did and more. God, give me that lie. You just don't want to obey God's commandments. You just don't like what God is teaching you. You want to go on your own way. But all this is just, God has so much proof, and he's always proving himself to people that it's there. You know, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. It's that easy. With God, don't anybody think that it should be. They make it hard because they don't want to listen.
Yeah, right.
You try teaching somebody something he doesn't want to learn.
Yeah, right.
You forget it.
Right.
You ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You try teaching somebody who wants to do it his way, you know? And this is why the whole spirit of that is rebellion.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.